Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where everything we do starts with an alignment to Australia's first accredited standard of conflict-free advice, which ensures we are truly focused on helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, how are you? It's Jim Stackpool from Certainty Advice Group with another in our podcast of the Certainty Series. We're aiming to help as many Australians as possible access the valuable financial advice, so crucial, particularly in these times when we're thinking deeper about our options and paths, and particularly in the coming weeks, months, as COVID's support mechanisms of the job seeker and job keeper options are ceasing. How do we move forward and maintain our best interests, or how do those important to us move forward and understanding how they access advice totally in our best interests and how to find that advice to ensure it's not has any conflict or bias, which is our Certainty Advisors all over Australia, following Australia's first standard of advice that we check every piece of advice that goes out to these standards that is no conflict, comprehensive. And so whether seeing an advisor in Adelaide, like today's, or Armidale or Annandale, anyway, you get a consistent standard, ensuring your own specific value, what is valuable to you for the coming 12 months, is going to be treated, and you're only paying based on that amount of value to you, not the amount of product or if any is needed at all. So this topic is now 3 years on from the rise and fall of advice since the Royal Commission, which was nearly 3 years ago, coming up. Royal Commissions themselves have played a big part of Australia's policy development ever since Federation. In fact, my reading shows that there's been nearly 140 of these over the 120 years since Australia's become its own Federation. And while the Hayne Royal Commission 3 years ago into financial services and banking highlighted wrongdoing and a culture of greed, I think was the one word that Justice Hayne summarised his findings, it also has exposed one of the downsides of Royal Commissions. And by the very nature, the Royal Commissions have narrow scopes, which limits, in a lot of ways, limits their ability to achieve best practice policy development, because it misses the wider consultation just by its very design, and misses, in some ways, the wider understanding of the variety of options and how they could be assessed, and the deeper consideration of what are some of the unintended consequences when headlines come out of things like the Banking and Financial Services Royal Commission. So it's timely now, nearly 3 years since it started, to review the real and potential unintended consequences, specifically of the Royal Commission, and see where the industry is standing. So I'm excited to have Tom Curtis. Tom is a Certainty Advisor from a great boutique firm in the middle of Adelaide called Rowe Financial. Tom works with working families, small businesses, retirees, from all over South Australia. And as you listen to Tom's assessment of progress since the Royal Commission, listen for how Tom believes the Royal Commission has in fact helped more Australians reconnect with real money, which is in their real superannuation funds, and how before they probably were not as connected. Listen also how, in his opinion, the Royal Commission was just part of a bigger momentum that's been going for over 10 years towards professionalism as the industry tries to jibe away from a product-based origin and heritage and genesis to a more professional services-based one. And also listen for Tom's views on robo-advice. But I started by asking Tom, what's the benefit of the Royal Commission for average Australians now 3 years on?
I think the real benefit for Australians has been probably the awareness of what they should be looking at in their financial life. So it's definitely drawn a lot of attention to superannuation. And I believe people have taken notice and would start to be asking more questions since the announcement.
And in particular, what sort of areas should they be looking at in their financial life?
So, I mean, in a broader sense, they should be looking towards the future to lay out what's coming ahead and what they want to achieve. That'll help point out the solutions of what they can do and what they can achieve. But in the more focused point, I think it's brought a lot more attention to superannuation for people, because previously people didn't think that that was their money, and they did talk about that a lot as not being their money and they couldn't touch it until they retired. But I think people started to check into the information a bit more and educate themselves more.
Okay, so you think that because the one of the key words that came out of the Royal Commission from Justice Hayne was greed, and you think to a certain extent that that was allowed to happen because people weren't really attached to the money that others were taking or clipping their tickets on?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot that you could talk to in that regard. Greed in the 80s was always taught to be good. Taking advantage of people and the attention that that has been pointed out, it shows greed is bad and people are standing up and taking more notice. So overall, it's been a good outcome for people to ask questions.
And so people are now asking, and are you experiencing that at Roe Financial there in Adelaide? People are asking different questions when they come and see you guys?
Yeah, totally. I mean, initially they were quite upset and outraged, and we just walked them through, you know, what we do for them. I'm talking a very small percentage, and they very quickly said, oh, that's right. And then it was basically just deciphering the difference between what the Royal Commission was talking about and what we do for our clients. So that was for existing clients, but with new clients, definitely there was a lot more questions focused around, okay, well, you know, where's this money going and that stuff, as well as, you know, what am I invested in? So there was actually quite a lot of questions coming off the back of that. They just wanted to know more about what they had.
Okay. And was the, when you say what was money for, it's also, were they questioning how you get paid? Was that part of the whole fee for service question that they had for you?
No, not so much. Roe Financial, we've had our clients for a long time, and the recent COVID pandemic with the market downturn really shone through for our clients because they were with us during the GFC as well. So they already knew that we were going to be calling them straight away. And, you know, some clients were even saying, oh, yeah, I know not to touch it. I'm going to hold and we'll just wait to see what the market does. And then we'll reevaluate their goals and you know, what can still be achieved out of this. But we just reappointed them to, you know, the long-term view. It's been so great for the last 10 years. You know, we're expecting a downturn. So here it is. And just hold on to your pants because it should come back out. We just don't know when. So, you know, they were expecting that. And that's one of the things that we always have to do to look after them.
Okay. And so going back to the Royal Commission, in from an industry perspective, who have been the winners or losers, Tom?
Great question. I think, well, on a monetary sense, I'd say the big institutions have been massive losers as they, in the past 10 to 15 years, they went in into the wealth space and spent all this money to acquire smaller businesses to make them bigger. So they've put a lot of money injecting into super funds to, I suppose, make more profits overall. And now they have exited after pumping billions of dollars into those companies. So they're probably the biggest losers.
And do you think, just on that one, do you think that was due to the Royal Commission, or was there writing on the wall before that, or was it Royal Commission the straw that broke the intent?
It's a really interesting point, Jim, because, you know, I've been an advisor since 2013, and the amount of changes that we have seen since then, it was almost every 6 months to 12 months there was a new topic talked about and a new debate forming, but they were all pointing to the same direction over the longer term, which kind of came to fruition from the Royal Commission. So, I think if you didn't see the writing on the wall prior, then it's unfortunate. I'm quite glad that the instos is starting to get beaten around for it, because our role is to service our clients and help them achieve their goals. And that's not what I witnessed from that side of things.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the key findings of Justice Hayne, where it wasn't so much as he was saying, or someone was saying, bad eggs. It was just systemically, you had an industry that's getting remunerated on the amount of product and not based upon the amount of value the clients were getting. And often there was no services, but still in that product-based structure, fees was continued to be deducted. And had there been any winners, Tom, from this?
I think the winners probably aren't apparent straight away, but the instos have paid a lot of money back to people for those, the bad things that they have done. So they're the instant winners. But over the long term, I think Australians are going to gain more purely because they are now asking those questions and seeing a bit more clarity on what they actually have themselves. So, I think it'll be better off for them for sure.
Okay. And are you surprised by the changes since the Royal Commission? Have they happened quicker than you expected, or has it progress been slower than you expected? What's your take now, nearly 3 years since the beginning of the whole thing?
It probably... I'm not surprised how fast they moved. It's been quite a rocky ride to make sure that we're still servicing our clients while the ground is moving underneath us with the changes in regulations. But I'm not surprised. They definitely had to move that fast. Otherwise, we would still be in that systematic issue that you mentioned before, Jim. It'd still be a dark cloud hanging over all of advisors' heads, where we can't even help our clients to the full extent that we want to.
And what's been the effect of COVID during this, all this development and change and potentially, new compliance coming through and banks exiting? We've had this massive, massive, unprecedented global event. How's that affected the pace of change, and how's that affected your clients?
Well, affecting the pace of change... The regulators moved very quickly for us to be able to help our clients get money when they needed them or needed that extra cash, which is fantastic. On the economy side and our client side, we're starting to see our small business clients, they're struggling for cash flow. And this is only in the last couple of weeks, as things start to taper off and people have taken all the money that they can out of their super. So it's starting to get a bit gloomy, as we expected, for our retiree clients. Nothing has really changed for them other than longevity of their funds in their investments. But 10 years ago, in that period, like I mentioned before, from the GFC, we have been talking to them about that there will be another downturn. We just don't know when. That's investment cycles. So they've definitely gone through that. They've had enough income from their retirement funds, and they'll continue to get enough income for their retirement funds when we come out of this one as well.
And so with the pace of change pre-COVID, put COVID on top, will that be a good thing for Australians seeking advice in the future, or will it be a worse thing for Australians seeking advice in the future? The combination of the regulatory train that's been underway and now with COVID on top?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one to answer, because when is COVID going to end? And how uncertain is it going forward? The only guarantee is that it will be uncertain going forward, even from today. It's definitely more important for clients. And for us, we have to be very flexible with their plans to meet their goals, and it actually puts more reliance on us to be in touch with them more often, because things are continually changing in that space with COVID. So it's a very busy time, and for our current clients, moving forward, we just have to move and roll with the punches with them. So It's probably more important for new clients to be looking for advice to help them get through that environment to reach their goals.
And that's an interesting point in terms of what they're actually looking for when you say looking for advice, because the banks will come back, even though they've exited the old style of face-to-face advice with distribution advisors, they'll come back with a financial or a technology-based financial solution, which will offer advice, which you and I might call robo-advice. I know Ro Financial, I think the advice you're referring to is when people have got lots of choices and many options, and potentially the stakes and the consequence of getting it wrong are high, and sometimes even emotions are high. That's what you would call advice. Australians are equipped better now post Royal Commission, just at a time when they need it, to help them determine what is the type of advice they get at Ro Financial and what is the type of advice they might get, for instance, from what they now call robo-advice.
Yeah, it's quite funny the amount of times that newer clients will say, oh, my God, you guys are marriage consultants and, psychologists as well and all that kind of stuff. And in the end, all most of what we're doing is making sure that we know them and what they need. So I feel like there's definitely going to be a space for robo advice for sure. But when it comes to rolling with the punches as they go through their life events, I think that's going to be quite hard for robo to attach itself to.
Yeah. And so in 3 years' time, will more Australians have access to more valuable advice like they get from Ro Financial, or will it be the same or less?
It's a great question. The space is forever changing, so I would hope that it's changing for the better, as I have seen since 2013. So I'd say more valuable advice going forward.
There you have Tom Curtis from Ro Financial, rofinancial.com.au in Adelaide. A few things I took away from this is that in these times of uncertainty, and we need to be more flexible with how we approach the whole conversation about advice, demands are only going to increase for firms like Tom. And it's really important for Australians to now reconnect with their superannuation, real money, to ensure that any advice is focusing on the real value, not the red tape that you probably will encounter when you're seeking advice. I think also Tom raised an interesting point, a comment he made about sometimes his clients are saying these questions almost sound like sometimes marriage counselling or psychologists. And whilst those obviously subject matter experts are never to be replaced or never to consider a financial advisor is playing that role, but the questions might sound like it. And obviously Tom and the team at Ro Financial have been doing a lot to understand and address the complexities and challenges in our financial lives, which might sound like a marriage counselor or psychologist. But I think it's just that it sounds like it, because as they try to do their job of being an objective professional, they're asking different questions, which the shallower questions about product and structure and investment returns don't cover. The other thing too is there's so many moving parts, and Tom's saying it, his opinion, being in the industry nearly 10 years, that the winners aren't clear. And with the tripling of superannuation assets over the next couple of decades, everyone wants to be a winner. And therefore, there's a lot of conflict, which sometimes put the real beneficiaries, i.e. Australians, a bit hard of a task down the food chain. Are they actually getting value? So there you have it. Tom Curtis from Ro Financial in Adelaide, representing, I believe, the new brand of advisor in what I think Adelaide is the old school type capital of Australia, strongest and oldest network, most connected state capital in the country. I'd love to get your feedback, but please never mistake a product or an advisor's effort for being of value. Only you know what's of value to you in your financial life. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpool. To access the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to certaintyadvicegroup.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. certaintyadvicegroup.com.